Okay. Boy, here we go. Okay. So Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I love this passage, and it's a prayer that Paul prays for the Colossian church. And I'm just going to read it again real quick. And so starting in verse 9, it says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And I just want to talk about two super amazing and incredible truths that I see in this passage. And the first one is comes from the end of this passage, where it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints." And so that's just an incredible statement. How can we be qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints? And as I was thinking and praying about this, this also means to me that the way has been made for us to be reconciled to God. And of course, we know that this is through Jesus's finished work on the cross, that we can be reconciled to God and through this be qualified to share in the inheritance with all of the saints. And that's incredible. And I'll come back to that later. The second truth is from the beginning of this passage, where it says that Paul prays that the Colossians may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that is a huge phrase, and I definitely do not understand all of what that means. But it seems really amazing. And to me, that means if we listen to his voice and we learn to understand his heart, that we'll be able to understand his will for our lives, his will for us interacting with other people, other believers, and his will in how we minister to other people. And this also, I feel like, means that he's given us the capacity to understand everything we need to know about our spiritual gifts that he's given us, and given us the capacity to understand what our calling, our personal calling is in life, and what we're supposed to do, and how we're supposed to live out this life the way the Lord would want us to. And so these are the two amazing truths that I see in this passage. And I actually want to give a little background about how these truths, came to be, I guess, because they didn't, this isn't like the first step in my mind about we're just humans and then these truths are there. But some background that I want to give is, I guess, starting in the beginning, we know that God made man and he was in perfect relationship with man in the beginning. Man sinned, and the Bible says that he became a child of wrath, and so we were separated from God. And I love going back to the basics. And so there's no way that man can reach God in this state. We're completely separated. There's no mediator between man and God. We know that God made a plan because only he could fix this. Man was completely helpless on his own. We were enslaved to sin. And so God made a plan. He said that Jesus would come and he would redeem mankind. And I want to go to Galatians 3:23, which you can turn there if you want, I suppose. 3:23. In the Old Testament, we know that the law was given before Jesus came, and so I don't know. I read this passage a little while ago, and it was just, I don't know. I'll just share it, I guess. So Galatians 3:23 and 24 says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." And so the law, it says, was our guardian. And the law wasn't a permanent solution, because the law, the old covenant, it couldn't address man's core issue of his nature being corrupted. The law governed the actions, the outward actions of people, and smoothed over, I don't know if that's a good term for that or not, sins. Every year the high priest would have to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people, and this is, a continual process. And it's not a complete and final solution. And so we know that Jesus is coming to bring that. But the law was there first, and the law was, a series of rules and systems that you had to follow exactly. Otherwise, you sinned, and then you had to offer this and that. And it didn't address man's core issue of being, of his nature being corrupted. Like, the law couldn't fix that. It's not a permanent solution, and thank goodness now we have the permanent solution. So I want to go to Hebrews, quickly, if you want to turn there, 7:26 and 27, and I will also read it. So Hebrews 7:26 and 27, talking about Jesus. "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself." So, of course, this is talking about Jesus. And this alludes to that Jesus is the final solution for us. Jesus only had to offer himself as a sacrifice once and for all, one time, covered. It's the final solution to man's problem of being a corrupt, having a corrupt nature and being separated from God. Because now Jesus, he's mediating between God and man, and his fix is final and complete. It can take man's corrupt nature, and we are imparted God's righteousness. When we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, we're given that righteousness. And so that is amazing. And I want to read Hebrews 10:12, also super fast. It says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." And so praise the Lord that we have the final solution. We're no longer under the old covenant, that we have Christ's final solution to man's problem. So this, of course, is amazing news, the good news, I guess you could say. And so I want to back up slightly. Something that Jesus said in Matthew 5:17 really caught me off guard a few weeks ago when I read it, and so I will go there and read it. Matthew 5. Sorry, I'm jumping around so much. Okay, so this kind of caught me off guard a few weeks ago. Matthew 5:17, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And then jumping down to verse 20, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And that floored me because, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day, their entire lives were devoted to searching the scriptures, being holy by the law, everything doing exactly right. And, of course, we know that, their hearts were in the wrong place and they missed it. But when Jesus said that, the people listening were probably just shocked and were like, well, how can we ever make it if, you know, our righteousness is supposed to exceed that of these of the Pharisees. Like, how is it possible for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven? And of course, now in retrospect, we know that it's possible because Jesus was the final sacrifice, that when we trust in him, that he's done all the work for us, and that it's a free gift imparted to us, or not imparted to us, a free gift offered to us by God, that Jesus sacrificed himself, like fulfilled all the law, all the prophets for us, that we can stand in the righteousness of God and be completely perfect and holy. And so because of that, because of Jesus' sacrifice, his finished work, we can say that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And of course, it's not us, but it's Jesus. You know, if we believe in that and we make him our Lord and Savior, and that is just amazing. And I read that, and that was just incredible. And so I just wanted to say how incredible that was today, because it's amazing. And like, you know, we have all the knowledge available to us, and we have the Bible, and we, you know, we can see when Jesus said these things, you know, it's, we're not hearing them like the people heard them back then as like, well, how can anyone enter the kingdom of heaven? We, you know, we have Hebrews, which is an incredible narrative about how Jesus is the final sacrifice. You know, it's his work that makes us able, you know, to come before God, to stand before him, you know, in righteousness. And so I want to go back to Colossians 1 again, get back to there. I wanted to say those things in support of technology. Amazing. Wanted to say those things in support of this passage in Colossians 1, because that's kind of the background, how these two truths, first being qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints, you know, and being able to understand his will and be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, we need the foundational truths there to be able to understand, you know, and comprehend, like, okay, why are these things true of us, you know, as the church? So I just want to read the passage again. Colossians 1, 9 through 14 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so I just wanted to encourage you with those two truths today. One, that if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that you've been qualified to share in the inheritance. And in Galatians, it uses different language to say basically the same thing, that we've been adopted into the family of God, that when we make that choice, that we're adopted into the family of God, meaning that our nature of wrath, our corrupt nature, is replaced with the righteousness of God, that, you know, our spirit, the eternal part of us, you know, is made holy through the blood of Jesus and his finished work on the cross. I think that's what it means to be, when this passage says, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance, you know, qualified is past tense. Like when Jesus died on the cross, that was it. That's the finished work, man's final solution. God's final solution for man's problem, you know, of being children of wrath, of being lost. And so, you know, that's one amazing truth that is true of all Christians. Like, we've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. You know, we're a part of the family of God. And God's amazing love, of course, when we come to Christ, we're still going to mess up sometimes. We're not going to be perfect. But God's love is so strong, and he loves us so much. You know, we're his children, and he's never going to disown us. He's never going to, you know, cast us out or anything. we've been adopted and we're qualified to share. You know, and as we learn and grow and live that out, of course, we become more and more like Christ, and that's amazing. And then, of course, the second truth, be like Paul prays that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that is an incredible statement, and I definitely don't fully understand that, but it says to me that it's possible for me to understand what the will of the Lord is. And of course, I definitely don't always get it right. You know, it's not automatic. We have to spend time with him, hear his voice, you know, understand and learn what his heart is for people and how he sees people. And we begin to see people like that. And through, as we grow in Christ, we'll be able to more easily understand what his will is as we interact with people, you know, in our daily lives. And that's incredible. And then in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that's incredible that I actually wanted to share another verse about that, which is, Ephesians 1, verse 3, which I forgot earlier. So Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And of course, that is a huge statement that, you know, what does that all mean? But I just want to encourage you with it that there's so much available to us in Christ as we fellowship with him, as we, you know, read his word, spend time with him in prayer and worship, that there's so many blessings that, and I don't know, I just guess want to encourage you to read these passages, you know, and pray and ask the Lord that he would just help us, like, understand what that means, help us to understand, you know, his will, and that our relationship with Christ would be dynamic and growing and full of life, because there's so much blessing, but it's not necessarily automatic. Each one of us has a different call from God, and no matter what that is, these two truths, you know, you can stand on. Like, these are, I think, for all believers. And so being qualified, like, you can be assured that you're qualified to be in the family of God, and you're equipped for every task that the Lord has laid in your path and before you. And so I guess I hope this has been encouraging, and these are two things that I've really been hit with lately, you know, as I've been reading and stuff. And so I just want to, like, I don't know, just, like, say that the Lord is so good, and that he's given us so many things that we can, so many truths that we can stand on in his word that are incredible about being in the family of God, being blessed with every spiritual blessing, that I just want to encourage you that that we'll never fully understand everything the Lord has to offer. Like, he's always taking us somewhere new, always teaching us something new, and that a dynamic and growing relationship with Christ is available for everybody, and that it's not reserved, you know, for, like, elite Christians, because those don't exist. Like, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ. Like, just because someone's a missionary necessarily, that doesn't mean that they're someone super special. They just have a different call from God. You know, everyone's at a different place in their relationship, but, you know, one person isn't necessarily, like, getting all the blessings and someone else is not. Like, it's available to everyone, and, like, these truths, like, truths in the scripture like this, you know, and every Christian can stand on them, and they're true for them. And so I just wanted to encourage you today with these truths, and that, you know, I think when Paul prays this prayer for the Colossians, like, we can pray this prayer for ourselves too, and for other people, and that it's really powerful, you know, when we pray these things for ourselves, that we'd be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Like, that's powerful. So I forgot to look to see if there's something after this. Is there a song, John? Yes? Okay. If you want to come up, I guess. Maybe, yeah. I'll just pray and then we can sing. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you've done for us, which is so incredible. And I just thank you that you went above and beyond the call and that you didn't just save us, but that you've equipped us and you've given us your work to do in the earth, and that you partner with us to reach other people, and that you just pour out your blessings continually upon us, and you continually mediate for mankind before the Father, you know, saying that we are yours. And I just thank you that you've granted your righteousness for us. And I just praise you, Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are so good. And I just ask that the truths of your word would, that we would grasp those and stand on the foundations of truths in your word as we live out our daily lives for you, Lord. Amen.